Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The dictionary defines stirred up as to change the arrangement or position of, to provoke, or to cause an unpleasant emotion. We need to be stirred up. We are stirred up, we are caused to move into action. Being stirred up can have negative or positive implications. We are familiar in today's culture, we hear stirring up the pot. It usually involves some sort of fomenting or rioting. Or sometimes in anger, old Adam is stirred up and moved to commit sinful acts while ignoring the consequences. Yet at other times, we are stirred up to do good things for our neighbors and to help them in their time of need. In our daily lives, we become like stagnant water, which is still and without movement. And how frequently we think something is boring. Why there's 300 cable channels and there's nothing to watch. I'm so bored. Catechesis class is so boring. The divine service is too long. This church board meeting it's a yawn fest. Or at work, the third meeting of the week to schedule more meetings makes us think that playing in traffic just might be something fun to do. And when boredom sets in, so does sameness and blahness, distraction. We become so bored and distracted that during the long sermon, that instead of listening to what God is trying to say to us, we're counting the little pieces of wood filigree on the reredos. Well, don't bother counting them, I've already done it for you. There's 118 up there. Sometimes during the sermon, we even think to ourselves, the preacher's not talking to me, he must be talking to somebody else in here. We become complacent and lethargic and vapid in our lives. Today, for the second Sunday in Advent, we prayed in the collect. If you want to look at it, it's on the very first page, the collect. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. Stir up our hearts, or another way of putting it, make us uncomfortable. And this is a bold and perhaps a scary prayer, and one that will make us uncomfortable. I mean, do you really want God looking around in your heart? Jesus said, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." What would God see in your heart? Would he see his word, his spirit, his son? Or would he only see evil as he saw wickedness in the hearts of men in the time of Noah? And despite this terrifying thought that God sees into our hearts and all the wickedness that comes from it, we are dull and indifferent during confession and absolution. As a child, I would listen to the words of corporate confession and absolution, and I actually thought the words were, "And I am hardly sorry for them." And I know it sounds a little funny, but if we're being honest, this is an honest reflection of how we become so numb to the severity of our sin. Because old Adam is hardly sorry for the sins he commits. And we become complacent and secure in our sin. As Pastor Meyer rightly pointed out last Sunday, Advent is a season with its own integrity. It is a penitential season. It's not Christmas yet. It is a time of repentance and preparation for the coming of our Lord, and this is exactly what we need. For now is the time to repent. Now is the time to ask God to prepare our hearts and make us ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus. And we need God to stir up our hearts and to help us overcome the dullness and distractions and to focus on the Word and the coming of His Son. We offer this prayer not on the basis of our own merits and achievements, as if we have any, but through the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom and through whom there will be reward for the faithful in the age to come. And Jesus said, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day shall come upon you suddenly like a trap." And Jesus is admonishing his disciples and us to not get carried away with the things of life. Our text uses the word dissipation. Maybe a better way to translate this is a headache or nausea which is brought on by heavy drinking. And the cares of this world can be so distracting that we stumble around in a fog like someone who has had too much to drink. What is most important to you and your family? The things of God or the things of this world? Instead of attending catechesis where children learn about the Christian faith, we allow our children to go to soccer practice or some other sports activity. Perhaps we are too tired to get up on Sunday morning and we skip Sunday school or the divine service. And we allow the anxieties and cares and things of this world to take precedence over coming to church. But it is here where we hear God's word and we receive his life-giving gifts in the sacrament. But we like to put ourselves in front of God, making ourselves more important than God. It is very easy to get caught up in the anxieties and cares of daily life, and they distract us from God and his word. But we are not to be weighed down with the things of this life, but we are to be awake, awake and watching and in praying, because our Lord's return will come when we least expect it. And Jesus said there will be cosmic signs at his return, and his return will be apparent to all the people of earth. No one, not the dead, not even the dead, will escape the coming judgment. These cosmic signs will cause fear and foreboding in the unbelieving world. But you see, cosmic signs are not that strange in regards to our Savior. When Jesus first came to earth, there was a cosmic sign. The angels announced the birth of our Savior to the shepherds, and a star then guided the Magi to the infant Jesus. And at Jesus' crucifixion, there were cosmic signs of the sun going dark and earthquakes. And so also when Jesus returns on the last day, the world will bear witness again to cosmic signs. For God's goodwill toward the original good creation of his hands is turning to anger at an increasingly corrupt and perverse mankind. The coming of the Son of Man will cause unbelievers to tremble with fear as they see him descending from the clouds with his awesome glory, power, and might. And at that time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then Jesus uses this short parable of the fig tree to illustrate the signs of his return. As we know from our time right now that the leaves change color and then they fall off. But when spring arrives, they send out buds and they grow new leaves. And when we see these new leaves, we know that not only is spring here, but these hot and humid Terre Haute summers are not too far off. In the same way, we will know that Advent is the kingdom that the advent of the kingdom of God is near from the signs that God reveals to us. Don't ignore the signs of his word and his return. Jesus instructs us to abide in his word, and he promises, because his promises in truth will outlast creation itself. These signs will not be ominous or scary to believers in Christ, but they will be a comfort to the faithful. You who were once cast down in misery and persecution in this world will be able to stand with your heads lifted high. You will be glad in anticipation of the coming of our Lord, for your deliverance and repentance approaches. It may seem unusual that the gospel reading for the second Sunday in Advent is about the return of Christ on the last day. But Advent isn't just about the first coming of our Lord Jesus at Christmas. Christ has come, Christ comes today, and Christ will come again. Advent is about all the comings of our Lord Jesus, past, present, and future. In his first coming, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior of the world. Jesus became both God and man. And he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified on the cross, and he became the curse and redeemed us by his death. And in his glorious resurrection on the third day, he vanquished sin, death, and Satan forever. He comes today to us in the sacrament of the altar, and he will come again on the last day. And therefore, we continue to pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, so that staying awake in prayer as we wait for our Lord's coming with repentance during this Advent season, God promises to renew our hearts. And on the last day when Jesus returns, without fear, but with great joy and gladness, we shall straighten up, lift up our heads, and we shall stand at the coming of our redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Now may the peace, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.